is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, and Island Pay.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. This Wednesday in the week of Easter. Yeah, we're going to talk about Easter a lot tomorrow, but so welcome. You can call us today on any of the following numbers, 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-429, that's 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I have a lot that we're going to talk about, try to catch up on a couple of items. But before we do that, I do have a very special guest with me today. None other than Sarah Kirkby. You know, this is Mrs. Freeport, Grand Bahama, always pushing for Freeport, always promoting Freeport, always trying to get Freeport on the map. Of course, as you know, the Guardian ceased carrying at some point that Freeport news that was the staple of Grand Bahama in terms of knowing what was going on in Freeport, but recently, there was a new development in relation to some information to get on a regular basis from Freeport. And Sarah's here to tell us about it. Sarah, what's going on, man?
Hey, darling, how are you?
Mostly good. Trying to keep it together, do what I can. Some days I try to do what I can't do.
Well, we miss seeing you in Freeport, but we know you come back for visits.
Well, you know, I'm actually, sometimes I'm there more often nowadays than not. So you'll see my face a little bit more. I think COVID may have more to do with not seeing my face than anything else.
Well, it's probably for your mom's good cooking, so that can end up.
You know how it goes.
Exactly.
So there's no Freeport news, but.
No, but there is a Grand Bahama news.
Okay.
And we are a supplement, basically, is the best way to say it, that is in The Guardian every Tuesday. So we're very proud to have partnered with The Guardian. And so we're like a little feature section that's in there every week. And we try to do a little bit longer stories, more in depth on stories that are important, or so that people can get to know Grand Bahama a little bit better and what's happening up in our neck of the woods.
Okay, so you got to buy The Guardian, and once you get The Guardian, you get the Grand Bahama section.
Yeah, we've been giving it out free for the last couple of months. We started in February so that people could get used to it. It was at my favorite place, Western Bakery, where you can get the best patty and a Coke. And it was Subway. It was also at Bellevue Gifts, and then also Orlando, who is the gentleman on the circle who sells all the papers.
Right. And the coconut.
And then also we had it at Green Gamut, which is a new vegan restaurant that is in Port Lucaya, which is very popular. So we gave out some free copies so people could get used to it, but the last copies ended this week. And in this week's issue as well, we were very lucky that the Port Authority put in a 12-page supplement, which was their letter that they wrote back to Darren Cooper and his group Stand Up and addressing the issues that they kind of basically brought against the Port Authority.
So how does this work? So you buy the paper, The Guardian, and you buy the Grand Bahama Port
No, you just buy one paper. So you're just buying the Guardian, yeah. Okay. And I mean, it's obviously we want to increase sales of the Guardian paper, but what's nice is you get the international news, plus every Tuesday, highlight more of Grand Bahama. And if we do well and got lots of nice advertising and get a bigger readership, hopefully we can go to 2 days a week and then grow from there and get back to having something a little bit stronger for us. But it's nice having our own paper again, as to say.
Okay, and the new situation where you're not getting it free anymore, that starts today or tomorrow?
It ended yesterday. There's no more free copies going out. Mm-hmm. Now you have to, as of next Tuesday, you'll have to buy it. But of course, you can buy The Guardian every day, and we want you to buy The Guardian every day because it carries great news and you'll know what's happening. So everyday events are in the paper that are happening in Grand Bahama. But we're taking the time on Tuesdays to delve in a little bit deeper or to tell you a little bit more about things that are happening. We're trying to create positive news stories or follow up on things that people are very worried about, like derelict buildings or who's buying Old Bahama Bay property. This week, we talked about the Grand Bahama Carifta athletes. We featured a story on Keith Cooper, who is our stingray whisperer, who's doing an amazing job really promoting tourism for us back in West End. And then we also did a story on the protesters, Darren Cooper and the stand-up group, and talked about them, their meeting they were supposed to have with the Ministry of Grand Bahama and their relationship going forward with the Port Authority.
How is East Grand Bahama coming along?
I think East Grand Bahama is doing well. We did get asked a lot about doing stories about people down there being in tents, but most of the people are out of the tents.
Yeah, so that was a little while now.
Yes.
I've been down there and there ain't nobody in that many people in tents.
No, most people have either rebuilt or decided not to move back. It's a big choice, I think. Mm-hmm. But the people who have come back are building probably a little bit higher, hopefully building a lot stronger with the help of some of these amazing NGOs that have come and given so many people metal roofs and better buildings. And it's been phenomenal what's come out of this. Bishop's is one of my favorite places to go to out east. And his place was absolutely wiped off the face of the earth, including his hotel. But he has rebuilt, and it's amazing to see what he's done. We featured him in one of our first stories. And along with Tony Macaroni, who is not quite in the east, more Lucaya, but again, he rebuilt after the hurricane. So it's great to see these local like legends that everybody knows about coming back. And the east is doing well. I'm hoping for it with the carnival dock going down there that will also bring a lot of jobs down there as well.
Mm-hmm. I have a relative who went out by Bishop's and told me they had a great time, that, you know, it was fantastic. And so yeah, I'm glad to hear that, actually.
Yeah. And there's a new place that's built by Pelican Point as well that's come up. Some friends have been going down there. And it's a great settlement to go down and talk to the people there. The bone fishing is coming back as well. You know, bone fishing's always been the livelihood. Now, Deepwater Key is not back up and going. It is for sale, and they are trying to do that, but they are trying to buy the entire property back so they can sell it as a piece. But there are two other bone fishing clubs that are back up, and of course, there's also H2O in Freeport, which is also a very famous bone fishing. So
you need to tell all these people you're calling on this show that they should do some sponsorship on this show, because Nassauians do travel to Nassau, the Freeport, and Grand Bahama, and when they go, they don't quite know too many things about what's going on. And so maybe
this is true.
You know, so tell them. You're happy to
have them. I will tell them, and I think maybe we need to do what we've been talking to Nadia, and he says he needs to have a show out of Freeport, so maybe you and him could hook up.
I'm happy to do anything in combination with any of the other ones, but actually I'm going to be doing a regular set of shows out of Grand Bahama.
Fantastic. I think that'd be great. Yeah, we need that love. We're doing well, but obviously we could do better. There are some things in the pipeline, but you know, as a Grand Bahamian, we don't believe it till it's built and open and moving.
I told someone that, as a matter of fact, I have actually X'd pipeline out of my vocabulary. Okay, I don't do pipeline no more. I only do running water.
Exactly. Yeah.
So next time I hear somebody say, "Oh, we got water running," and not in the pipeline. We got water running now. That's what I want to hear from the government and everybody else.
I kind of feel like the buzz is back in the air for Grand Bahama, and I do feel that everybody is trying their best to work hard for us. We were very fortunate. I mean, we did come back stronger, I think, from the hurricane. I think the NGOs that were phenomenal. I don't think people realize if you're in Nassau, unless you're really in Nassau and Grand Bahama or Abaco, you did not realize how much these NGOs helped us, including the British, American, and there were a couple Caribbean nations that sent their armies as well, how much they got us back on our feet and then got us going. We're going to be featuring a story on SBP, which is St. Barnaby's Parish, which has been on the ground since day one. They helped us get the children's home back together, but they also helped us get a reverse osmosis plant at the Rand, which means that the Rand will not run out of water or have issues in the future, which is phenomenal, you know?
Oh, they've been some great, great, great charitable organizations and NGOs that have assisted, and we have to be grateful. That's why we have to treat them with some high regard so that they keep doing what they do.
We do. We do have to really respect a lot of what these NGOs do. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. I know there's been a lot of talk with the food charities and things like that, but most of these charities are all of their information is public on their websites. And so they have to maintain certain levels. They have to give public information where they spend their money. It's something that we've done as the Grand Bahama Children's Home as well, because when you're vetted from groups outside looking to help you, you have to be transparent in everything. They need to know exactly where your money goes. And so working with the NGOs that have been on the island, it was phenomenal to learn from them what they do and how much we can improve in what we do as well. So yeah, very blessed.
We'll be looking for that Grand Bahama section to give us a more detailed information about what's going on in that place. And I think there are lots of people who are interested to know, not just Grand Bahamians, but people across the country.
Yes.
Who are interested to know what's happening in Grand Bahama. I still believe it. I believe the Grand Bahama holds the single biggest opportunity for Bahamas' transformation in terms of the distribution of the population, economic opportunities, and the like. And so we keep working for it.
Yeah, exactly. We never stop with Grand Bahama. I love it. I do love coming to Nassau. I'm in Nassau today, and I love coming here and going to different restaurants and stuff, but I do miss home and less traffic and a little bit of, you know, things like that. So it's going to be nicer as we grow. And we do have space, like you said, to grow. We have the canal system alone is something phenomenal that Grand Bahama has that you could not really do nowadays. You just couldn't afford to do what they did in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll keep us informed. And if I can be helpful at any time, let me know.
I will. Thank you so much. And thank you for promoting it. It's every Tuesday, folks. Please buy it and support us. And if you have story ideas, you can always welcome to send them to us. We would love to hear them and like to tell you more about what's happening in Grand Bahama.
Sarah Cookby, ladies and gentlemen, I call her Mrs. Grand Bahama. Mrs. Grand Bahama. Thank you so very much, Sarah. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.
Anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with some stuff. We'll be back. Some issues. We'll be back after this.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, then chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns like 14.76%. With our International Equity Subfund, get access to U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without the red tape through our suite of internationally invested funds. Ready to set sail into the international markets? Then contact RF at invest@rfgroup.com to get started. RF, money at work.
Fidelity. how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win. Whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others, it's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, the Wednesday before what they call it, Monday, Thursday. That's what it is in this Easter season, this sacred season of remembrance. I don't get caught up in all of the historical accuracy or developments around the Easter season and the controversies that relate to the Easter season in its evolution, they say, in a secular holiday, and that I don't get caught up in all of that because it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to me. Why? The Bible teaches us that what we do as unto the Lord. So if you are taking the Easter season for secular purposes and that's all it is to you, then that's on you. If somebody else, regardless of the historic accuracy of it, is doing it because they say, oh, I want to take this season anyways to remember the fundamentals of my Judeo-Christian faith in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, man, carry right on, carry right on. Close your ears to all the critics. And do your faith the way you want. Do your faith devoutly to God and let him be your judge, because ain't a single human being on this planet has nothing to do with your eternal soul. Nothing. No one. You hear me? I don't care how intensely they criticize you or tell you off, etc. They have no role to play in your eternal salvation. When you popped on this planet, only your mommy and your daddy had anything to do with it in any physical way. But in any other way, not a single soul on the planet had nothing to do with it. And when your spirit leaves your body, there is one single person on planet Earth, not the Pope, not the pastor, not a preacher, not the pimp, is going to have a single thing to do with what happens to you thereafter. Period. And that's the way, that's how I put into context all the nonsense I hear. All the stuff I hear. Don't say nothing to me about it, because if it has to do with a personal act of devotion, God is the judge. Hallelujah, somebody might say. I wasn't trying to preach to you, man. So listen, I was listening to Minister Davil, the Honorable Minister of Health, and he was, as I heard him, he was talking about the extent to which if we observe the protocols, the COVID-19 protocols, we will be able to open up more and more industries as we fight back the spread of COVID-19. And I was just curious. I mean, like, what industries do we have closed down? Like, what the churches actually, the churches are now like full 100% occupancy. The hotels are all open. The retail and wholesale sector's been open, right? The manufacturing sector, been open. Who isn't open? I mean, I'm serious. I maybe it's something I miss. Are the restaurants not open? Or are they still operating on reduced occupancy? And maybe that's what he's talking about. Because as far as I know, all the sectors are open now. Are all of them operating on 100% functionality? Well, I don't know. Maybe in rules we say no, but in behavior, yeah, I don't think behaviors are really checking for what, like, as far as I could tell, things are pretty much back to normal outside of people wearing masks, where they are obeying the rules and still getting tested, where they are traveling, or maybe where they feel symptomatic. But as far as I know, this economy is fairly much operating on, boy, close to near openness, as far as I know. And but you know, it's a good thing. Let's hope that we keep containing the virus so that we can keep functioning in this way. Like, I mean, there's no real terror of COVID-19 like there used to be now. There is none. We have become quite familiar, quite accustomed now to the modalities and what have you. And some people are you know, kind of really, really relaxed about it for the most part now. And so there is certainly not that terror in the air. It's still real. And I don't want COVID. I keep telling people, I don't want COVID, I don't want the flu, I don't want the cold. So when people around me get sick, I'm going to tell you on a lie, as from now on, I'm taking up a mask. It don't make no difference to me if you have the cold or the flu or COVID. I'm taking up the mask because I don't want a cold, a flu, nor COVID. So those people who think, like, oh, well, COVID ain't a big deal, it doesn't make no difference to me if it ain't a big deal. I don't want to get sick. Why do I have to traumatize my body with something I have to traumatize it with? If I can prevent it, if I can avoid it, if I can minimize it, if I can reduce the symptoms, et cetera, I'm gonna do that. Okay? However someone else decides to do them, that's on them. But I used to, when I was in China on several occasions, when I was in Taiwan on several occasions, when I was in Malaysia, I used to notice way back then how people would wear masks. And I never really quite appreciated it, but I understood now why, I understand now why they were doing it. It is a way to minimize spread of infectious diseases. And it just makes sense. So if you are in an environment where people are symptomatic of a communicable disease, and if a mask can reduce your risk of getting it, hey, I'm good for that. I might not look pretty in the process, but I'll be protected, and that's worth something to me, okay? So I'm not sure what industries are not open, but maybe if you have information and you could help me, I'd be grateful. All right.
So the National Insurance Board, let me back up. 4 years, not just now, 4 years, we have been told that the Social Security Fund, that is National Insurance, was in danger of, in quote, running out of money. Meaning that if things continued as they were being done with the fund, it would give out more in benefits than it took in income. And obviously, if you look at the National Insurance Fund like a tub of water, if you let more water out of the tub than you are letting in the tub, eventually the tub is going to empty. That's the nature and dynamics of flows, monetary flows. If more is going out than coming in, then in time there will be a depletion. It only depends on the difference between the rate of inflow and the rate of outflow. The bigger the difference between the rate of outflow and the rate of inflow, the quicker will be the emptying of the tub. The smaller that is, the longer it will be. So we have been for decades. When I was in office, we were told this, that National Insurance, the National Insurance Fund, needed to have adjustments made to it if it was going to be able to sustain itself. That's one of the reasons why the Ingram administration increased the wage ceiling, because that was a way to get more monies into the fund, because you get a rate on a bigger chunk of wages that put more monies in the fund. That was one of the reasons why there was a tinkering with the retirement age, because the longer, the higher the retirement age, the longer it takes for people to have to get benefits, and that means that the fund would not be depleted as quickly. And so that was always the case. This isn't new news. And so today, it can't be new news to rationalize, as an example, a challenge with giving salaries, right? Not per se. Now, a fund has an administrative cost. And at the end of the day, everything adds up to the fund's sustainability. That is true. Now, the question of whether or not workers at National Insurance should get increases should depend on what? That's the question. Like, why should you give an increase anywhere? That's the question. Okay, why should you give an increase to any set of employees? National Insurance, civil servants, private sector workers, why should they get an increase at any time? Rather than getting caught up in the discussion about the sustainability of a fund or the non-sustainability of a fund, et cetera, let's just look at the basic question of why should I, having gotten entered into a contract to work for a certain amount of money, why should I get an increase on that at any time? Well, if you're a nonprofit organization, you could only argue that you should get it if the organization is able to afford it. And how is the organization able to afford it? If its income stream increases to make that affordable. They have to then do that, though, having account for the mission of the organization being fulfilled first. And if they can fulfill the mission and do the things that's required to serve their clients, and at the same time recognizing their workers as internal clients, give some increase to them, then you can argue that's a justifiable increase. on the very basic level, if a people are going to work and their salaries are paid in X amount of dollars, if there is a cost increase induced by inflation, as an example, inflation, you can argue that every organization should seek to make at least an inflation cost adjustment to salary. Why? Because if I pay you the same amount of money next year as I pay you this year, but inflation has increased, then I can argue that I am not paying you the same amount of money at all. I'm in fact paying you less money because the money that you'll be spending will have less purchasing power because of inflation than it did when you first got the job. So you can argue for an inflation adjusted increase as a basic adjustment for workers. You can argue that. Now we could get, let me tell you all though, the inflation argument isn't so simple. Because inflation doesn't mean that everyone is being affected the same. Because inflation is a basket of goods that the Department of Statistics have put together in a weighted format that tracks the changes in those prices over time. But that basket of good does not necessarily represent the lifestyle of people in the society. Because some people who are poor have a different lifestyle than people who are rich, than people who are in the middle and who are super rich and so forth. Because your preferences change sometimes with your economic status. So inflation is a crude adjustment, but an adjustment no doubt that can be argued by a worker. So if national insurance people say, listen, the last time we had an increase was 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ago, and inflation has gone up cumulatively by 6, 7, 8%, and we're looking for an adjustment to at least reflect the inflation, that's not an unreasonable argument to put. Now, beyond that, beyond inflation, what could be the justification for giving anybody an increase? It could only be that the financial fortunes of the organization has increased sufficiently to warrant the workers of that organization sharing in the gains of that organization and thereby demanding or requesting some increase to reflect those gains. That is the only other circumstance. And so what anyone who's responsible for national insurance or responsible for any of these organizations should be able to argue is, listen, at the very least, we could look at an inflation-adjusted amount. But as for anything else, look at the financial circumstances of the organization. Has it improved since your last contract? Well, if it hasn't improved, then how do you argue for an increase? I'm sorry, I respect unions. I love unions. I always advocate and push people who are looking and interested in unions to get in unions, but I don't believe that you can argue for adjustments where the financial circumstances don't warrant it. I don't believe that. I believe that that is absolutely unreasonable. It is also unreasonable for organizations to increase their fortunes and not be willing to share those fortunes and those gains with their workers. I think that that is unreasonable too. And I think that that has happened in the Bahamas for decades. For decades, owners of businesses and enterprises in the Bahamas have taken their gains and pocketed them for their own benefit and have ignored, in the way of training and in the way of wages, workers. I believe that too. So if you're going to argue on either side, you argue rationally for inflation-adjusted considerations and considerations based on economic gains the organization has made. If you can't argue on any of those bases, I don't think you have an argument. I don't know what the details are in the case of NIB yet. But all I'm saying is, you can't argue the depletion of the fund as a reason for not altogether looking at adjustments, not altogether, not given the longstanding circumstances of the fund situation, and in fact that if you want to keep the fund, if you're going to keep the fund, if you want it to be sustainable, there are adjustments that can be made. Okay, there are many kinds of adjustments that can be made, some innovative, some not so traditional, but there are adjustments that can be made to the fund, right? You have younger workers as an example who, you know, they're not so heavily indebted, they have a little bit more discretionary income. You could decide that that young workers could decide voluntarily to contribute more to their national insurance contribution than older workers. They get bigger benefits in the end, but their additional income can help to bring some salvation to the fund. So that's just a thought. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
To think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, then chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns like 14.76% with our International Equity Subfund. Get access to U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without the red tape through our suite of internationally invested funds. Ready to set sail into the international markets? Then contact RF at invest@rfgroup.com to get started. RF. Money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking about a number of things. We're talking about the National Insurance Board and what's happening there. Let me just say this, Minister Miles LaRota, I believe, is one of the most sober-minded, fair-minded individuals I have ever seen operating in public life. Even, I mean, just proof of that was, you know, he was appointed to the Disclosure Commission under the Progressive Liberal Party as chair and was kept there, I believe, under the Ingram administration, because he's just regarded as a very sober-minded person. So, you know, I believe that his interest would be for the broadest, fairest consideration for the fund and so forth and so forth. Now, I don't know the details of the argument he is using in relation to national insurance and their fight with the unions about their requests altogether. I don't know the details of it, but you know, I highly respect and regard his thinking and approach to things, and it'll be interesting to see how this discussion evolves, for sure. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. I'm listening to your presentation. I heard you mention inflation, and I have a question, and also regarding National Insurance Board, I have a question there as well. Now, regarding inflation, doesn't inflation affect both the employer as well as the employee?
It does.
Okay. Regarding the National Insurance Board fund intake and outflow, like in the situation with the tub of water taken in, giving out more than taken in, it eventually become empty. Doesn't the fund in the National Insurance Board supposed to be reinvested to earn it should be appreciating.
It is invested, not reinvested.
If you actually put a, let's say for an argument's sake, if you put in $100 because it's invested at maybe a 10% or 20% rate, you should be having 120 over a period of time or something like that.
Yeah, but let's not even theorize about it. National Insurance is probably earning at best 6-point-something% on its investments. Why? Because out of mandate, it cannot invest in risky assets. So it is only going to invest on the lowest spectrum of the investment curve, right? And most of its investments are made in government property, government bonds. So it gets those lower 6, like I said, percent returns. But if you are paying out because you have an older population and more people who are calling on your resources, that could be growing at 10%. So now where your outflow is growing at 10%, your inflow is growing at 6%, you have a deficit of 4%.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just I'm speaking academically but
I'm saying we don't have to speak academically because we're trying to inform people, and I'm saying the realities of things is such that the fund earns probably on maximum 6.7%. But if its outflows are growing higher than that, then it is going to have a deficit.
Okay. One other point related. The outflow is not necessarily, you can agree or disagree, the payment of a claim or benefit as for the fund per se. The outflow may be also other expenses, whether it's administrative expenses.
This is not a mystery, my friend. You know, you can go on the National Insurance Board site. Their financials are published, so you don't have to. We don't have to theorize about these things.
Okay,
the administrative expenses for National Insurance is not even close to the bulk of what flows out of the fund.
Saying that the balance sheet and all of that is public.
Yeah, they have annual statement, financial statements that have to be published.
Yeah. I'm not on one side or the other, because when it comes to increases, I believe the entire nation actually needs increases. And when it comes to sacrifices, I believe the entire nation also needs to sacrifice. So I'm not for one or the other, you know, because I'm actually proud of what I heard in the BPL situation, where the company is actually observing some of the fuel costs to ascertain that the bills are reasonable for the public at large.
I'm not suggesting you are on one side or the other. What I'm trying to do is to make sure you know that you don't have to theorize about things. You can actually get the information.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have some text here. Says, I don't think gyms are fully open. Okay, could be that gyms are not fully open. Okay, but not fully open, but they're open, because I know gyms are open. I know I've seen people going in gyms. So I know gyms are open, but fully open means it's a different story. It's Texas, Mr. Lang, I agree with you. I'll be using my mask as well, particularly where people are sick or when I am traveling. I too now have a better appreciation for those people I used to see in my international travel who wore masks. I will be adopting that because I too do not want to get sick. I got you, my friend. It says increases in salary should be on performance and qualifications, and there should be ceilings on positions. Okay. It's Texas. What is current collection rate of contributions at NIB? Is it still at 40%? If it is still at that rate, performance is low and improvement is needed. Yeah. It's Texas. Ms. McCartney, the problem is McCartney. You're obviously listening to the wrong show today. The problem is the inspectors, they get a good salary, gas allowances at $700 a month, was able to get their increases. The PMU gets a bonus based on whether the budget is met and don't have anything to do with the collection. Is this fair? Okay, that's an interesting observation. It says, I believe that the government at this point needs to cause the citizenry and businesses to prioritize the NIB contributions by tying that renewal of car licenses or business licenses or other necessary governmental requirements to payment of contributions, or keeping their contributions up to date. If your NIB contributions are up to date, then you can't proceed with other licenses. That's one way to get stiffer on what that does. So let me give you an example. I'm looking at the 2017 National Insurance Financial Statement. Total net contributions in 2017 was $277.5 million. Investment income was $53.3 million. Benefits expenditure was $286.5 million. Administrative expenditure was $49.1 million. Okay, that's what it was. Just that was in 2017, just as an example. So if total expenditure was $286.5 plus 49.1, that was $335 million. So administrative expenditure as a percentage of that 339 was 14.4%. That means that benefits made up 85% of the whole. Now you could argue that the administrative expenses should go down, and you can make that argument, but to suggest that it is the bulk of the outflows would be absolutely inconsistent with the information that we have on record. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. You're
is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Hi, I'm Shivago Lang, the host of Z-Live, and I'm wishing Guardian Radio a happy 10-year anniversary. What a contribution it's made to the public dialogue in our country.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Child, Joni Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. You know, Guardian Radio celebrated its 10th anniversary along with Morning Blend, only on the 10th gone. And I have a pair of tickets to give away to Pentatonix's concert on Saturday, April 16th. So if you are interested in going to Pentatonix's concert on Saturday, April 16th, if you call the show and answer this question for me, then you can get that those tickets. All right, so here's the question. Which month and year did Z Live begin on Guardian Radio? Which month and which year did Z Live begin on Guardian Radio? All right, so that's the question. If you want those Pentatonix tickets, you know, Pentatonix is a, my understanding is, I don't know the group that well, but that's a a cappella group, seemed to be quite popular in some circles. And if you want the tickets, give us a shout. Oh, but you can call or you can text. Whoever's first gets it right, you'll get the tickets. It's Texas Mr. Lang. NIB is late in picking up the so-called can. We in the Bahamas are so fortunate to have a system in place that pays people who did not contribute to it. Well, the party is over and it's payback time. Well, what do you mean pay people who didn't contribute to it? There's a segment of NIB's beneficiaries who are non-contributory. Those are the much older folks, but generally speaking, everybody else
contributes. You could argue whether the contribution is big enough or not, but they all contribute. So it's the civil service that has an unfunded pension scheme, a non-contributory pension scheme. That's what does, right? Not NIB. NIB is a contributory pension social security scheme. Just so you know, just so you are aware. Yeah, homeboy lost. Yeah, very lost. They were not quite aware. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. We don't have a caller on the line. No. Oh, they must have left then. Okay. Well, that was an old something. Yeah, that was today. Okay. We have a text here, says, the Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday is what I celebrate too, not Easter, the bunnies or the eggs, amen, no commercialization either. I even don't have a problem with, you know, kids with the bunny and the eggs. I said, that's just part of the fun. I let my kids watch cartoons, so I just, that part of it is just kind of like the thing. I know that's, my son, if you ask my kids, my children, about Easter, they can tell you what it's about. They can. And in fact, my son was at a church the other day, my 13-year-old, and I asked him what the pastor spoke about. He said he spoke about being prepared for when Jesus comes. I said, and are you prepared? He said, yes. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. There you go. Oh, boy. So, you know, this text, we have some other text here. Says, good day, thanks for saying that. I don't think I can ever go back to traveling without mask or be around a lot of people without a good amount of distance. Even after COVID, I'm traumatized by this pandemic. Okay. I suspect lots of people may change their behavior in that regard. It says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. I went to Freeport last week and I'm willing to trade 8,000 Nasuvians for 5,000 people from Granby. So the people's attitudes are completely different. The air across there, even different. Okay. Now they know you know. Now they know that you feel that way. So a couple other things here I wanted to broach today. Now, please listen to me very carefully. Kendrick Dorsett is suing the Attorney General and Ash for what he regarded, I suppose, as a malicious prosecution or something. This is interesting. This is interesting as a learning exercise. Let me tell you why. So Kendrick Dorsett is suing the government. Hubert Minnis and his group are not in office anymore. They're not in office. If Kendrick Dorsett wins his suit, the government of the Bahamas will pay, i.e. the taxpayers of the Bahamas will pay. The prosecution initiated under the Minnis administration. Okay, under the Minnis administration. The Attorney General's office then, the Attorney General's office took the case to court then, okay? He is now suing the Attorney General. This is a great lesson for Bahamians to understand and appreciate what we mean by continuity of government. Mr. Dorsett isn't suing Carl Bethel, who was the Attorney General when his case was submitted to the court. He's suing the Attorney General because it was the Attorney General's office that took his case to court. Carl Bethel was the instrumentality by which that office executed that request to the courts. Okay? But in the end, having felt aggrieved by what was done, Mr. Dorsett is suing the Attorney General.
So if he wins his lawsuit and is paid, then the government will pay, i.e. the taxpayers will pay. Because on behalf of the taxpayers, the Attorney General's office went and prosecuted him. Now, here's what is interesting. The prosecution happened under an administration that was politically opposed to Mr. Dossett's party. No question about it. He was a PLP minister. They were an FNM administration. They prosecuted him. He is now suing a party. He is now suing when his party is the governing administration. Is there anyone who believes? Well, let me put it differently. It is now, therefore, for consideration whether his party's governing administration will look unfavorably on his lawsuit. Will they defend the government against his lawsuit? And this is not a simple question for the government. There is all kinds of precedents and considerations to be taken into account here, as in, okay, even though we may be sympathetic towards someone who is a supporter of our party, ought we simply, on the basis of wanting to support him in what we may regard as malicious prosecution, to dismiss the circumstances that were attendant to the moving forward of that case in the first instance, and therefore just surrender to the lawsuit? Now, here's the thing. This administration already dropped the case, saying the primary witness is unwilling to cooperate. And the primary witness, Mr. Ash, has been named in the civil suit. Okay? So now you have this tandem that has to face a civil suit that says I was being essentially maliciously prosecuted, that themselves abandoned the case. It's a learning scenario. We have a call on the line. Go ahead. A caller, we're listening to you.
Is it March 28, 2018?
Not 2018, no.
Okay.
You're welcome. You're welcome. The text says, never, says Shane Settleman set everything in motion. Frank Smith soon to his hand to, someone could argue that. And I'm not at all judging their determination to receive recompense regarding the prosecution, especially given that they were acquitted. But now, I'm not a lawyer, and so I don't know the peculiarities, the nuances that go into determining whether a prosecution was unwarranted. See, that's the thing, right? Like, was it unwarranted? Was there no case to answer? I don't know what goes into that. I don't know what the threshold of proof is, etc. But it is interesting. And it is interesting to me. I'm not sure. Maybe one of my colleagues could help me. I'm not sure. Did Shane Gibson sue, or was there a settlement be outside of a lawsuit? What was it? I'm not sure, because to me this it wasn't quite so
out there, and maybe I missed something. But we'll see. BLC is interesting. My basic point to you is recognize that while the Minnesota administration pursued the prosecution, the lawsuit is against the Attorney General, right? And that is an example of how government is continuous. Dwight, let me make sure I don't deprive that caller. There's something in my head that triggered me on 2018, but confirm that for me, please. I don't have to rob the caller. We had elections in the 2017, right? Yeah, election was in 2017. That's right. All right. Y'all want me to give you another question? Let me give you another question then. How about, and you could go ahead and search this out, and whoever do it for you and call or text you. When is Easter going to be, when is Good Friday going to be in 2025? That's the question. You want some Pentatonix tickets in celebration of the 10th year anniversary of Guardian Radio's launching? Just tell me what date will Good Friday fall on in 2025? First person to send me the answer, you can just get the tickets and leave us your name and the tickets are yours. How about that? We'll settle on that. Okay. So I had I had a couple of other things that I wanted to mention to you. Let me just get my notes here. So there is on the national insurance issue. Yeah, I saw the I know that the amount was settled. I know it was settled, but what I'm trying to figure out was whether or not Shane Gibson filed a lawsuit. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Did he in fact file a lawsuit? The government has reached a $2.5 million settlement. This was in Nassau Guardian, Travis Cartwright, Carroll. The government has reached a $2.5 million settlement with former Progressive Liberal Party Cabinet Minister Shane Gibson, who alleged that he was falsely imprisoned and maliciously prosecuted. His attorney, Anthony McKinney, QC, confirmed yesterday. In 2019, Gibson was acquitted of 15 counts of bribery. He was accused of receiving blah, blah, blah. McKinney, who was contracted for contact, blah, blah. He explained that the global settlement fees occurred by Gibson in both his criminal and civil matters. Okay, so it seemed like he had to have launched a civil suit then. It seems to. So, because but it just don't seem so clear. Was there an announcement when Mr. Gibson filed a lawsuit that, like the way there's an announcement that Kendrick Dorsett filed a lawsuit? I didn't recall seeing that. I know there was an announcement about the settlement, but I don't recall the announcement of that. So this text says Easter is going to be on Friday, 18th April, 2025. Friday, April 20. Okay, so let's make sure I don't want to call nobody. Yes, you got it right. So okay, so please, I'm gonna send your name to the I'm going to send your name to the to the producer. And you can call Guardian Radio and arrange to pick up your Pentatonics two tickets. Okay? Thank you very much for responding. All right. This text says, you had it right too, but you came after the lady. And thank God this all WhatsApp so I could confirm who came first. So he sued and then they settled. Okay, he sued. For me then, like, Dorset would be like a fait accompli. I mean, here you have somebody who went into full prosecution with an acquittal and got a settlement. Someone whose case seemed to just linger for a long time and nothing was proceeded and now suing. Why wouldn't he be able to get a settlement? I mean, so to me, that seems like a fait accompli. So just for fun, give it to the next person. All right. Okay. I was saying that the NIB issue of needing to save NIB is not so simple a matter. I'm noticing that, for instance, Brian McCartney, former leader of the DNA and cabinet minister, is saying that you can't bleed the rock, that trying to increase NIB deductions at a time like this is a bleeding of the rock. And I would say that he is right to some degree, because there are some people in our society who cannot take any further intrusion into their income, cannot. The disposable income just isn't there. Some of those people are employed, and they are working, but when you look at the deductions that they are having or the payments that they are making, they do not have the means to do anything further. Okay, but that's not true for everyone. That's not true for everyone. There are some people whose income situation could still take it. Now, what we don't do in the Bahamas is we don't discriminate on the basis of income, and therefore everybody essentially pays the same rate when it comes to national insurance, even though they're salary, the wages are maybe different. And I think that this is where we might be able to try and just begin to look at a new formula for dealing with national insurance that doesn't mean not doing anything for anyone in the way of increases, right? We could look at that, right? But it is, we have to stop treating the Bahamas as if it is an economically homogenous society. It is not. There are people in this society, notwithstanding the financial circumstances that we have, who are doing exceptionally well still, and who do have discretionary income perhaps to afford to do a bit more. And so, but that's a big consideration that we have to make. But it is true that there's some folk who can't take nothing more. The economic circumstances just ain't there. But if we keep operating like
there is no difference in our economic circumstances, then how do we then rationalize that people can't take more? I mean, the government's spending has not gone down. The government's revenue projections are higher than they used to be. So how do we then claim otherwise? Okay, one of my keen-eyed listeners has sent me a news clip showing Sheen Gibson sues the government. Okay, yeah, thank you very much for that. So there was a lawsuit filed and an announcement made. And so, like I said before, if he was able to get a settlement, I think it's just a matter of course before Mr. Dawson will get one as well. I mean, why not? Except you'd have to say, what's the difference in the circumstances of both? Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The fact that Mr. Dawson did not secure an attorney and no legal costs incurred, can be due the government for damages? And if so, what damages? Well, what do you mean? I mean, he didn't. You don't have to have an attorney to go before the courts. Now, they always say that any man who has an attorney for himself has a fool for a client, but you don't have to. And I suspect that it could be that he knows that there is likely to be a settlement, and so why incur the cost to begin with? Okay, so, you know, I don't know. So this says Mr. Gibson sued and won his case against the government. Okay. And so the government, I guess, then settled once he had won his case. All right. Okay. My basic point was that, listen, you, the people, prosecuted through your attorney general. And you, the people, are being sued. The target? Your attorney general. That's the point that I make. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Looking to diversify your portfolio, then chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns like 14.76%. With our International Equity Subfund, get access to U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without the red tape through our suite of internationally invested funds. Ready to set sail into the international markets? Then contact RF at invest@rfgroup.com to get started. RF. Money at work.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win. Whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others, it's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Fidelity, we're good.
how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. I'm not sure what this feedback is about. Maybe you can help me. It's happening. It's about, I don't know, some man. It's a lot of feedback. All right. Can we fix that? All right. So we have, we have a number of texts here. Welcome back to Z Live. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, "Hi, Mr. Lyon. We need to consider the kind of precedents we set because most cases take forever and a day. What will happen to the average person whose cases don't come up in a reasonable time? Then I guess everybody will be singing around here." That's a fairly reasonable comment. Would another person get as quick a settlement from the government as these persons get? Somebody might well ask. That's not an unreasonable question to ask. This text says, "Mr. Lang, I feel former attorney generals need to be somewhat held responsible for taking erroneous cases to court, especially when it leads to the government being sued when the case is lost." So how do you know? Okay, so an attorney general carries a case to court. She has attorneys in the office there that advise, etc. So just so you all know, right? This isn't an attorney general sitting down by himself or herself deciding, yeah, that's the end of it. These people get advice. They have a director of legal affairs and other people from whom they get advice. So then they move forward. How do you then say they should be held personally accountable? I mean, how does that work? All the people who work in the government, all the prime minister, the ministers, all of them work on your behalf. They all make judgments. Their judgments can be right, their judgments can be wrong. You don't pay them more money when their judgments turn out to be right. Do you pay them more money? Do you hold them and you say to them, "Oh, you should get a bonus"? I'm not sure about that, my friend. Right? One thing I'm sure is it's not going to happen, but I just don't even think the rationale is there. This text says, "Good day, Mr. Lang. In regard to NIB, we don't need to increase. They need to collect what is outstanding." Well, you can only say that if you know that collecting what is outstanding is what's going to fix the problem, right? So other than that, you can't say that. You can't just say they don't need to do that. How do you know? Have you analyzed the fund? Do you know what the circumstances are? Do you know exactly what the rate of collection is? Do you know what the forecast is for income versus expenditure? These forecasts were made years and years ago, right? You can't just say all we have to do is collect more. That's not based on anything other than just your opinion, right? This text says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. This is the epitome of corruption. One group goes ahead with court proceedings knowing full well the evidence is not foolproof. No thought for financial consequences to the taxpayers has set the precedence for future tactic to rip off the country. How do we know they are not all in this together? I'm sorry. I don't have the energy to answer and speak to that at all. I'm sorry. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right. We lost them. Sorry about that. Hi, caller. Go ahead. Hello. Yeah, that texter on the... Hello. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, hi, we're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing? Happy opening us.
Hey, what's up?
For the season, did you thank God for Jesus dying for our sins, man?
Amen.
For real. Hey, I wanted to find out from you, I like what you're talking about with the national insurance thing and educating us and stuff like that. And, you know, from I remember when Brave Davis was once the chairman of national insurance, they were talking about depletion and, if we don't do certain things, how what could happen to national insurance. And national insurance is very important to the Bahamas. I thank God for it. It's just that I think over the years, maybe we had some challenges. That's how I'll say it. We had some challenges, and I guess thank God for national insurance being there. But what I want you to break down for me, Mr. Markey, Carlos Markey, I think you had sitting in for you the other day. I don't know if you could do it. I don't know if to say it a little better or maybe explain it. He didn't remember the gas people who talking out there, the gas owners, gas station owners and stuff. If you could simple it down or dumb it down so we could understand what exactly they asking for the government to do. They asking, but they saying they losing money and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they saying they want to send the expense on to us, because I know it mightn't be no savings, you know. So I just wonder if you could break that down. And with the court case with the former minister, I was saying, I didn't hear them saying nothing, but the other fellow, I think the Smith fellow, who was also charged, or had a court case in Venice court case, if he did sue the government. And I was saying, did they sue the Jonathan Ash also? Are they saying they're going to sue him? And
yeah, he was named in the lawsuit with Kendrick Dawson.
I think they settled with Shane Gibson, I believe. Can they settle with Kendrick Dawson? And not because I asking these questions, don't believe I like any part of this, you know, because I believe we should expect better from these so-called smart people. And when they make these accusation on people or whatever, and either stay in their name or whatever, you should stand up to it and put your money where your mouth is. This whole thing, and this might sound crazy to you because you work around government, I mightn't be educated enough to understand the whole detail, and it don't go that way. But when you make these decisions, prime minister or whosoever, attorney general, I think you should pay the bill if it be any suing man. We could use the money to help in medicine and so much other things. But if you could tell me a little something on what the gas people them expecting, I'll appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Have and season greetings. I'm in and on Jesus dying for our sins, brother.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Papa. Appreciate it. Yeah. Well, let me start by saying gas is one of the price-controlled items in the country. And what that means is before a gas... And that means that the government determines what the profit margin is that the dealer can get. So whether that's 10% or 15% or 8%, the government determines that. So that the dealer can't just decide to raise his price. The dealer has to submit to the government documentation to support a price increase. And then the government will, if deemed justifiable on the basis of cost and that kind of stuff, the government will give the dealer the increase. Now, the dealers have not had a margin increase since 2000 and I don't remember whether it was 2009 or whatever. Well, no, it was in 2001. Or thereabouts. It was in 2001 or thereabouts. Yeah. And guess who gave them the margin increase? Shabab was here online data when he was the minister responsible for economic development and consumer affairs. And so they haven't had a margin increase since that. That's been now 11 years. What happens with them is their increases are only granted on their base cost. So the cost to purchase the fuel and some other cost elements. But if they are having to pay out of their margin, the profits, they're having to pay for other administrative expenses associated with operating those convenience stores and stuff like that they have inside there and these kinds of things. So if their margin is fixed, even though they get to cover the cost of fuel increase, they don't get to deal with the inflated prices of other things that they have to purchase because their margin is fixed. So those and other inflated prices eat into their margin, and that's where they start to feel that burden. And that's what they're talking about. They want to be able to have, like every other basic business in the country has, every other basic business in the country gets to adjust its costs according to the economic circumstances that they are in. But the government of the Bahamas is determined it's not to be so for the fuel dealers. In the United States of America, they are able to do it. They are not price controlled in that way. But in the Bahamas, they are not able to do it in that way. And I think that that's the challenge that they face. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been can't down the same road.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Child, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win. Whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others, it's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you. I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody,
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. In this last moments, if you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, the $100 million that was borrowed to prop up Bank of Bahamas is being paid back. Presumably, the government hasn't defaulted on any loan, so presumably it is being paid back. I have no information to suggest it is not. His text says, Mr. Lang, it's time for Mr. Davis and the PLP to sit down and look at the laws and constitution, tweak what needs to be tweaked, revamp what needs to be revamped. That's a broad statement. I don't know what that is supposed to mean. That you do know that there is a law reform commission that is in the business of looking at and reviewing laws every day, right? But you can't just say they have to sit down and look at the laws, the constitution, and revamp it. It isn't that easy because the government has tried to tweak the laws on any number of occasions. Came to you, the people of the Bahamas, and you all said no. So some things only could be tweaked with your say so. So not to say I agree with the fool side saying they've been in on it together, but for the gentleman that don't want to be a witness because they ain't paying him, I think he's been paid by the gentleman he don't want witness on. Y'all is up, mess, boy. Say, Shabago, I don't know if I was the winner or not. You only said the winner should call your producer. Please advise, if I was the winner, could he call me on 5 3 5? Oh, so well, I don't know. I'm sorry, the way I'm getting this text, it's not coming. The winner knows who they are, and I can tell you, you are not the winner. Okay, you are not the winner because that phone number is not the number for the winner. The winner already knows who they are. Go ahead, caller. We are listening to you.
Hello, Chihuahua, show online.
Yes, how you doing?
Everything all right. Happy 10th anniversary to you and the whole Guardian Radio team.
Thank you, brother.
I've learned a lot from your show, all of Dwight Dem Show, Nash, Black, all of those shows. You learn a lot. I learned a lot over the 10 years.
Great, great. That's great.
Now, Chihuahua, what the minister, what the good minister need to do, because this happened to me 20 years ago in 2002. I was working for a trucking company in the back of the airport, And I was working for the trucking company for 6 years. And I had a little incident. I had to go up by National Insurance. And on the check stuff, they was taking out like 13 or something every week. And when I reach up by National Insurance, they had one payment for me over the 6 years. Now, the other day, when they berated all of Wendell Jones and everything before the court and everything, I thought that was over with. I thought they had inspectors to go around to these employers to find out that that foolishness isn't going on anymore. But I have a friend who works for a company with us, roofing, and just last week, he was stuck in his foot by some nails, and he ran up to National Insurance to check on, because he was laid off for about a week to get a week's salary, and he found out his employer isn't paying no National Insurance for him, and he's working for the company 4 years, and the money coming out every week. Now, he what's up the employer and tell the employer he ain't paying the National Insurance, and he got to go in and report him. And the employer tell him, well, you got to prove you was working for me. Now, check this out, Chihuahua. And then in the next what's up message, the employer what's up him back and saying, well, if that's what you, if you could do that, you no longer work for me no more. See, you better come Friday and pick up that little couple dollars.
So he indicted himself on the same WhatsApp message.
Exactly what I said. You see?
Yeah.
He put his foot in his mouth on the same what he said on WhatsApp. Yeah. Well, then you got to prove you was working for me for that 4 years. And then I ran in another WhatsApp, but 5 minutes right after that, and say, you fired then. We'll just come pick up that couple dollars on Friday.
Yeah, that's
can
not unusual
that,
for people to do.
Can he go up by national insurance?
Huh?
Can he use that when he go up by national insurance report?
Well, as long as the employer can be identified, maybe, I don't know, because somebody, the employer could say, I never texted, somebody was using my phone. So there's,
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
it isn't what you claim, is what you could prove. And so I can't tell you it can. But if he, wasn't he getting a check?
Yeah, he's getting a check.
Well,
sometimes it's the envelope with cash.
Oh, I see.
You see, on some certain jobs, it's the cash.
Yeah, I see. I don't know if he could use it or not, but that's a case for a lawyer. That's a case either for a lawyer or some legal mind he might get some guidance from.
Yeah, but that's what Minister Miles need to do. They need the inspectors or something or some type of way to go around to make sure. But I thought they'd deal with that when all of Wendell Jones.
But let's be clear though. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of businesses. You can't have enough inspectors to inspect thousands and thousands of businesses. You gotta keep looking at compliance. You gotta keep doing what you can do. But it'd be difficult to say that you have inspectors to go check on all of them.
Well, I agree. Well, the employees, when this happened to them, it should be a department of national insurance they could go to. And special penalties on the employers for doing this type of foolishness.
You're right. So if you're following your own deductions, then you can know when they are and are not being made yourself.
Because that's really illegal, man, to be taking a 30-something every week for 6, 7, 10 years and they ain't paid the national insurance. That go in your pocket.
Yeah,
that's a white-collar crime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of smaller businesses get caught in it because basically they're trying to manage cash flow and it becomes difficult and they make very hard decisions and, you know, it's not that they're trying to be malicious or deceitful. Sometimes it's just that they're just trying to survive. But it's against the law.
Right. And you know what they do sometimes, Chicago? If they get caught and everything, they say, well, that's a contract waiver. He's on contract. He wasn't waking for me like that. No, I guess.
But that don't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, like you could be a contract worker working for me. That doesn't absolve you of making the payment. It's only when I'm self-employed.
No, but what they'll say, I shouldn't pay the national insurance. He should pay the national insurance.
Yeah, if he is self-employed, but then you have to prove that person was self-employed, meaning your contract with them clearly states that they are an independent worker.
Right. Okay. So thank you very much, Chicago. I learned something else again today. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Take care, my
friend.
You
all have a great week, man. A great anniversary week.
Thank you, my friend. All right. Okay. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a great evening, a fantastic evening. What a bunch of issues we are having all across the country. Oh, man. What a bunch of issues. Well, you know, Easter's coming, so you could focus your mind on some other things. Tomorrow we get into church a little bit. So stay tuned. God bless you all. Y'all been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, and Island Pay.
This is Guardian Radio 9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.